Y'all, hey, what's going out there? And welcome to the show today. I'm telling you, we got a great show planned for you. What have we learned is the topic of the show today, and we're going to be getting into that in a little while. But anyway, hey, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and it's a beautiful day, beautiful day. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, 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 just a beautiful day. And you know what? We are really hyped today. I'm telling you, I'm hyped. I'm ready. And I have a surprise for a special someone. And then I'm going to get up and dance a little bit. I'll put it on YouTube so y'all can go and check that out. Then I'm actually going to sing a song for y'all today. That's right. I hope y'all ready for that one, man. I'm telling you, because I've been practicing all day. Okay. Let me stop telling that video. But anyway, I'm not gonna be doing any singing or dancing for anybody. All right, I'm just gonna tell you the truth about that. I'm not gonna be doing that. But anyway, you know it's. But anyway, you know what? It's a great day. I'm telling you, it is, and I hope everybody's having a wonderful day out there. Now, if you want to be a part of the show today, you can call in at 347-838-8622. You don't have to say push one or anything. You can just call in and listen. Or you can rewind. You can participate in our chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, all one word. And you log into the chat room and you can join in the conversation there. Now, we have some outstanding conversations going on in the chat room. Sometimes they're not necessarily what we're talking about on the air, but they be in the area most of the time. Most of the time. But, you know, and we got that going on as well. Or you can go to I'm getting ahead of myself and behind myself. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or go to Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. All right, now I think I got it all in. I got it all in now. So that's what we'll be talking about today. As far as the topic, what have we learned? You know, I'm going to put this on your mind so y'all can think about it while we're going through the music and the quotes and stuff like that. You know, and I was sitting here thinking last night, and here's my thought on this. You know, if you go all the way back, I just went back, thinking back to, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, North Carolina. You know, when we were really prosperous and had our own. You know, but as you look at the years, you know, the more we so-called became advanced, the less we begin to have, if y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. You know, then came this big thing where we were allowed to vote. Oh, another big advancement. And then, next thing you know, we were allowed to integrate with other races. And what have we learned from all that, y'all? What really have we learned from all that? So, you know, that's something that I'm going to be talking about today. So I hope y'all get your mind together because I'm looking for a very, very great conversation. All right? Okay. Now that I have that in, let's go ahead and bring in somebody who's very intelligent and always keeps me on my toes. And that's why she is the co-host of this show. And without further ado, let's bring the beautiful Sister Ngoni Au. Hello, Sister Ngoni.
Greetings, Eric. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. And yourself?
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
Great. Oh, so what you got for me today? You know, what you thinking about the topic?
Oh, I have some thoughts to share, but of course, first I would like to hear from the audience, see what they've got on their mind, and you know, sure, we're going to get a very diverse, you know, set of opinions as usual, which makes it exciting and interesting.
Yes. Yes. I mean, like you say, that makes it outstanding. You know, that makes makes the show very outstanding. We get different points of view and, you know, how people think. Because, you know, and that's the great thing. Everybody cannot think alike and everybody doesn't think alike. So that's one of those things where you're like, yes, you know, listen, let me listen to your point of view. You may turn me on. I mean, bring me to your point, your side, or we may meet in the middle. But that's always great as far as we having a conversation, you know what I mean? So that's a great thing.
Yes, and I think it's possible to learn from others.
Oh, outstanding. That's correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In the words of the kids today, awesome.
when you think you understand something and, you know, if you want to stand on that, I think it's important to know the opposite side of that. So you know why choose to stand on position that you stand on.
Right. Okay. I can't wait. y'all got me watering at the mouth already about this conversation we're about to have today. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So let's see. Shout outs in the chat room. Would you like to do that, my co-host? Give you shout outs in the chat room.
Well, thank you for letting me do that. I just say hi to everybody, and you go ahead and do your thing. Thank you for that.
All right. Well, I'll be a little more specific. We got Antoinette. We got Bible Truth by Benny. We got Funnel Cake 88. I never seen that one before, but welcome to the show. And we got Guest 1043 in the house. All right. So I got a special something for a special someone, you know, and this person I call my chat room coordinator, you know, because she handles the stuff in the chat room most of the time for me, and I sure appreciate her for doing that. And, you know, I got something special for her today. And y'all know who I'm talking about. If you don't, oh, well. But anyway, here's the first surprise I have for her. All right, here it is. All right, that's the first surprise.
Wonderful.
That's the first one. Well, here's the second surprise I got for her, though, and I hope she really enjoys it. Here it is. All right, there it is. Happy birthday, chat room coordinator. There you go. Oh, the one and only Antoinette. She's turning 29 today, y'all, 29. So, you know, she's still a youngster, all right? Okay. Oh, you're welcome. All right. And you know what? I think we're going to start that, making that a monthly thing, co-host. What you think? You know, at the end of the month, we just wish everybody a happy birthday. They had a birthday in that month. What you think?
I was thinking the same thought. You know, that would be nice if people share their birthdays, because your show is like a family. You know, the same people come every day, and we see them actually more than I talk to my own family. So I think that would be a great idea, and I would like to take this opportunity to shout out to Antoinette a special happy birthday, and I hope you have a wonderful day. I guess that's it. I would sing to you, but I don't think I better do that now.
Hey, what you talking about? We still got that group we got to put together now. Quit playing. Oh, Lord. All right, y'all. Oh, well, are y'all ready? It's about that time, man. It's about that time for that music, that daily music mix that you get. And I hope y'all ready for it. It's pretty good, I think. I think it is anyway. So without further ado, here it is, y'all. Y'all Thursday music mix.
Thrill is gone.
Well, okay, that was unexpected. Man, I'll tell you, I was had my little juke joint groove going in. You know, I was cutting a little rug, and it caught me by surprise. Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about right there, though. Whoo, boy. We had a little Ray Charles, Bobby Blue Bland, and who else? Mr. B.B. King. That's right, nothing like them blues, man, I'm telling you. Make you feel a little good. That's the way I'm thinking anyway. Okay. So anyway, we're here, and it's okay. Oh, my goodness. Sister ain't going to have you recovered from the music yet.
Oh, yes, Eric, that was nice.
Okay. Yeah, she was catching her breath, too, y'all. I'm telling you. Kind of a little juke joint going on in. Anyway.
Yes, that's different for me. But it was still nice, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I forgot, you're not that old, so yeah, I understand. Oh, Lord Harris. Okay, then we're going to leave it at that. All right, East Coast, what's up? And I see we have the lost child back in the house, Mr. Ava Indiana. I don't know, I guess he finally got out of there with them sheep. He happy now again. Okay, making little sheep. Okay, let me stop. All right, anyway, let's go on and get on with the quote of the day, because I know my co-host has a good one, and you know, from there, we're going to keep it rolling. Once again, you want to be a part of the show today, give us a call, 347-838-8622. Join us in the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right? So without further ado, man, let me find it. Here it is, the quote of the day. Boom, boom, boom.
Liberty is the possibility of doubting. The possibility of making a mistake. The possibility of searching and experimenting. The possibility of saying no to any authority. Literary, artistic, philosophic, religious, social, and even political. That quote is by Ignazio Silone, I believe is the correct pronunciation. And I couldn't fit his whole name in, so here we go. Pronounce it. There we go. Ignazio Silone, maybe?
Okay.
Sounds Italian or something like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we're going to put it in our term, Silone. Silone.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Ignazio Silone. That's correct. There you go.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, I just read it as it's written, and I don't understand it. All right, let's see. Liberty is the possibility of doubting. The possibility of making a mistake. The possibility of searching and experimenting. The possibility of saying no to any authority. Literally, artistic, philosophic, religious, social, and even political. Now, that is interesting. Very interesting. Okay, now, since we got that one out the way, tell me what you're thinking about that. I know you got something going on.
Yes, let's see. It's pretty self-explanatory to me. It just says that, you know, I don't want to repeat it. I mean, it just seems self-explanatory that, you know, one should have the liberty to explore, you know, to question, to learn, to grow, and all facets of life, you know, literary, artistic, philosophic, religious, social, political, like it says.
Okay.
What else to say about it?
All right. Well, you know what? Even though it's so self-explanatory, you know, some of this, it seems like the hardest thing to do sometimes. You know, and I guess that goes to, you know, right along with the topic of the show today. You know, what have we learned? Because apparently we haven't said no enough, or we haven't been given, I guess you can say, the liberty of being able to say no, and then saying we made a mistake. You know, so.
Well,
you know,
Eric,
that's what I'm talking about today. Yes, ma'am. Go for it.
Our long-lost cousin, Joe, in the chat room, is getting started in his wonderful form already. He says, that's the most convoluted explanation of liberty I've ever heard, and it doesn't get to the core of liberty either.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say it like this. Joe, get your fat ass on the phone. That's what he tell everybody else, right? Excuse
me. On the phone, you know, I have some business to take care of. Some old business before new business.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, that's true. All right, so go ahead. You got it.
So is it okay? I want to apologize for misspeaking yesterday regarding I made a statement that was Obama has written the most executive orders more than any other president, and that was an error. I do not know how many executive orders President Obama has written. I did some research. I checked four sources. The first one was Forbes. They say he's written 37. But they're using an average per annum. And that article was written by an investment analyst. It was a op-ed. The second source I checked was Wiki Answers, and I think that was Bus Stop Todd or somebody put that in the chat room. I checked that out, and that article was dated January 28, 2014, and they say he's written 144 so far. Now, obviously, I made a mistake. He couldn't have written more than all the presidents combined because this article in Wiki Answers also states that FDR wrote 3,522 executive orders. Then I checked with Snoops. They were dealing with some information they claimed that they gathered from emails that was false, and stated that he had written 923 executive orders. That was dated September 2012. And the last source I checked was a blog spot that's entitled 1461.org. And what they've been doing is keeping track of the executive orders written since he first came into office. And that the latest information there, which was claimed to be up to date, was dated January the 17th, 2014, they say he has written 167 orders. So I really don't know. And I want to apologize for making that error to Mays because Mays said that he wrote 179. So all I can say is I'm sorry. I don't know how many he wrote.
All right. Now, okay then. It has been said. We don't know. All right. I don't think really anybody else knows. I don't think he knows himself, probably.
Well, I don't know, but another thing I forgot to say was some of those numbers reference the fact that they were only counting the ones that were in the federal registry. So I don't know what average per annum, and then some of them were using a long-term average and only those registered in the federal registry. So I don't know. I'm sorry for the mistake. I'm done with that now.
All right. That was my beautiful co-host correcting some things that she said wrong. So see, and that's what we try and do here. If we say it wrong, we find out we did it wrong. We'll tell you we did wrong. Okay, we said the wrong thing. But don't think we always do something wrong. Thank you. Anyway, for those that want to try and troubleshoot. But I see we have two hands up. The topic of the day is what have we learned? And I'm talking about I listen to my co-hosts a lot, you know, and when I really just thought about it, I say, well, let's go to the black community. What have we learned? You know, but I think I listened to her because she says there's only one race, the human race. So I guess we kind of have to expand that out a little bit. I don't know, though. I guess we could start in one area and just expand out and see where we go. What you think, co-host?
Absolutely. I don't think there's anything wrong with having love for your particular group of people. You know, there are different ethnic groups, and I'm proud to be in the one that I'm in. And, you know, but I just feel like, you know, in my effort to grow spiritually, then I got to look beyond the nose on my face.
Outstanding. You know what? I agree with that. I agree with that. But first, self-preservation is, you know, being able to look at oneself and see what the problem is there first before you can look out and try make change elsewhere, correct? Wouldn't you say
absolutely.
That's true?
Start at home. You got to clean your own house before you start talking about somebody else needing to clean theirs up. So I agree with you.
All right. Uh-oh. It's going to be a great day. We the wavelengths are kicking in now. All right. So we got two hands up. So let's bring these two individuals in. I'm sure they're going to get it started pretty good, and we're going to have to shut them down, but hopefully not. Let's welcome P. Yankee, and I'm sure this is Joe. P. Yankee and Joe, welcome to the show.
It's Beasley and Bianchi, and I think that's proof that we aren't the same person.
I guess you have a point.
Yeah,
Beasley and Bianchi, and it's proof that we're not the same person.
All right, P. Yankee.
Why does resort to this juvenile stuff day after day? I don't understand, but that's okay.
Yes, that's okay.
Juvenile. Step your game up. You're around adults now.
Joe, Eric, I gave you a link of my next present I'm going to buy myself. I've been looking for one for a long time.
Man, Pianki, what you got to talk about? What you got to say about the topic of the show? I don't want to know about no gifts you didn't buy
yourself. I can address the topic real quick. First, let me address what Ngonya said about making a mistake and researching for a fact. And it ain't her fault, and it speaks to what I was telling you guys the other day, that there's so much information out there from so many different sources that aren't necessarily credible or that have an agenda behind them. It was hard to find an accurate figure on something as clear as how many executive orders the president has taken or written. I didn't know anything about it, and I never researched it, but in researching other things, over the net in particular, you're going to get all of this information, and it's not going to all make sense. And where she ended up is where I ended up on a couple of things, is I don't know. It's not your fault. That seems like the way that it's designed. It on some issues, it's designed to give you confusion. Now, if you can let Pianchi speak. So I know what she's going through, and that's what I was feeling a week or so when I was talking about that. It's hard to get to a solid answer a lot of times when you've got conflicting information.
That's true, Mr. Beasley, and that taught me a lesson to be more careful.
Well, that's what I'd experienced when I spoke to that about a week ago, that I just didn't know.
I remember.
And you just been through it.
I've been through it before, and I know that's good advice. When my get going, you know, your brain sometimes gets overheated and you can't hear.
Identify with what you were saying. That's exactly what I was saying a week or so ago.
Yes.
And it was out of frustration.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
That's all.
Yeah, that's good. But you know what? The good thing about it, though, she just didn't stop at that one, you know, that one resource. She went and checked more of them to make sure, you know, they were saying the same things and came to the realization that nobody really knows. And, you know, so that was a good thing. So that's the way research should have been.
I would say nobody knows. I think somebody knows, but I think Mr. Beasley brought the point home that there's information put out there, and they play with words and they play with numbers. Like I was talking about, they use the average per annum, and they use different, you know, criteria, whether it's in the Federal Register or not. So there's a lot of ways to obfuscate facts. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
I think sometimes they do on purpose, like Mr. Beasley said.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We can't grab something and run with it because it's, you know.
You got to leave it alone.
No, I can't leave it alone, Mr. Beasley. I'm determined to find out what's going on, okay?
There you go. That's right. You can't leave it alone. You can't. And that's why I've started the show today. What have we learned? And, you know, that's part of it. Right there. That's part of it right there. What we learn, all information is not good information, right?
You know, one thing I've learned is that when I was younger, and I would think the older folks didn't really know much about what was happening and what was going to happen, that they really didn't have you know, you would listen to them, but sometimes you would just listen to them out of being polite because they made you listen to them, that the old folks knew what was going on. And they knew, what, if you took a certain path, the different paths that you could take, that's all they were trying to do is guide you into taking a right path, that if you take a certain path, you're going to get certain results. And it might not happen right away, but you're going to get those negative results when you choose a negative path. And they were right about a lot of things. I'm glad I still can hear them and feel them, because they're not here anymore, because they really did tell me the truth. And it took a while to learn that, but I really did learn that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. And I don't want to hog the conversation, but if I could just jump in and say this one thing.
Go for it.
I was listening to a presentation by Mark Passio. It's called Natural Law, which, in other words, Universal Law. And what he explained was about the Trinity that they have taken out of our education. Some people call that the trivium, or the seven classical education, where they purposely took this out of the education so that we wouldn't learn critical thinking. And he explained that the Trinity, which is a symbol that represents a lot of different truths in life, when you look at the left brain, that represents the father or the mind or the thought, because everything that we experience in our reality starts with a thought, okay? And then on the other side, the right side, is the mother principle, and that's emotion or the Holy Spirit, inward intuition, okay? And then the mother and the father united give birth to the male child. We're talking Osiris, Isis, or Asar, Aset, and Horus, in Kemetic language, otherwise known as Osiris, Isis, and Heru. Well, the male child is action, and what he's teaching, which is basically he's teaching Kemetic science, is that we have ideas that we've been taught and conditioned to just accept, you know, ignore the negative, which leaves out one side of any equation, which suppresses the divine masculine, which is action, because you can't change the past. It's already manifested. The only opportunity you have for change is in the present, and you can't change the future because it doesn't exist yet. I hope I didn't jumble that up.
Huh. Okay. No, you didn't jumble that up. Not at all. Whew. It made sense to me. Let's see. Let's bring Maze in. I'm sure she wants some of this. Hold on. All right,
hello.
Maze, what's going on? Hello.
Happy birthday, Antoinette. What she was apologizing for, she said that the president had made more.
Huh? Are you there, Maze? Okay. Anybody's there?
You know,
what happened?
The
I don't know. Unless somebody cut me off and put me on mute.
No,
I didn't.
Oh, there you are.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. I said that we were having a discussion saying that the president had put out more signing statements than anybody. I said he hasn't. He put out the least. And I still stand to that. He has put out the least more than any other president that was. And I said, what's wrong with him signing statements and everybody, all the other presidents have? And that's how I said it, which is true. And she apologized for being wrong.
Okay, yeah.
You accept my apology, Mae?
Hello?
You accept my apology, Mae?
Oh, sure. If I'm wrong, I'm going
right.
to get corrected. And if I'm talking to somebody and I don't like what they had to say, I either give them the opportunity to explain what they want to say, and what they said is with them. I'm through with it. I'm not going to get upset or get mad or make – I said we're on different tracks. So I just leave it and go on to the next subject. That's what we should learn.
Okay. That's what we should learn?
Not take it personal. Yes, and not take it personal.
Okay. Well, I put a question out in the chat room, and I'm going to ask y'all since y'all on the phone. Do you think integration was a good idea? Or should we, you know, should we have remained, I guess, segregated in our own little areas to where, because it seems that when we're just in our own area, you know, before today's people, society, we did well. You know, we had our own, we had our own businesses, and we supported our own, you know, and everybody was like a big, it was actually a community. Now, if you take a look at it, since we have so-called integrated, you know, it's like community is gone and everybody's just neighbors now. You know, like we often say that, you know, we don't have the corner grocery stores anymore that's fully stocked. You know, we don't have a corner store half the time, and let alone talking about the neighborhoods. You know, neighborhoods used to, some of you, I know neighborhood I grew up in, every time I go home, I go through there, and it's just sad to see what the condition it is now compared to what it was when I was there growing up. So I'm just asking, was this such a bad thing, or, you know, did we just take it in, didn't do the right thing? That's all I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Well, sure. We didn't integrate everything. We just integrated our property, our stores, our gardens, and that's what we integrated. If we would have kept that, we'd been doing all right. But we just let it all go.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We went to the grocery store.
Really?
And, yeah, and then gave our children over to other schools. And we would have kept all that within the neighborhood. The family would have stayed in the neighborhood. But that's what we integrated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what's missing.
Okay. So let me ask you this, because East Coast brought up a good thing. What about on the economic side? Was integration used? Or were you? Oh, okay, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, even though the financial end, the money stayed in our neighborhoods. Now, you know, we don't have any money stay in the neighborhood. If we do, it's very little. I mean, when I say very little, I mean very, very, very little. I think it's like, what, $1 or $2 per hundred or something like that. I used to have that on the top of my head. But my point is, you know, when we decide to integrate or become part of the big picture, as we say, then, you know, I think it kind of led to the downfall of where we are now. And, of course, you know, Funnel Cake talking about crack by crack, you know, whatever. You know, that I think that was another way to help tear down the communities. But I'm just talking out the side of my neck. What y'all think? I mean, I'm just going. Yes.
Do you think that may have something to do with the fact that small entrepreneurial businesses, mom-and-pop businesses in the community were invaded by corporations they couldn't compete with? You know, most of the businesses that we had in our communities were restaurants, beauty shops, barber shops, what else?
Hospitals.
And bookstores.
Dentists.
What else, Mae?
Doctors.
Yeah, and dentists and all that. But, okay, you're going back to a time before integration. I was thinking still at a time, I was thinking during, you know, the time that integration was progressing. And I think that's the reason why we see the businesses have gone away because, you know, look at every poor area in urban centers. They got McDonald's. They got the corporate drug stores on the corner. I mean, it's all by design. And then they have the check cashing places, you know, and the rental centers. And then they have Planned Parenthood. It's, you know, so we keep saying, well, what do we do wrong? Well, you've been attacked. And the drugs get there by themselves. That drugs is flying on airplanes.
You
have no laboratory. Well, I'm sorry. What you say, man?
Hey, all the integrated was our money. Everything else, see it all. You got to do is stop and take it back where you was doing with it in first, and then it'll go back to where it was. In the
we
community.
Don't have money.
Huh? Oh, what you call it? Notes.
But see, I don't say that just to play semantics, Maze. What
no.
I mean is We don't have control of a medium of exchange that can be controlled and kept in our communities. That's why you can't keep it in the communities, because first of all, people have to be educated and aware of the benefit of moving currency around in your own community, what they say 7, 8, or 9, 10 times. That's what they say to, quote, Jewish people do before it goes back out. It rotates around in their own community several times before they spend it out with somebody else. But if we're not educated and trained to understand how to do that, and we don't have control of our own medium of exchange, then we don't have any defenses against McDonald's, Burger King, you know, CVS, and so forth and so on.
Yesterday you said currency didn't exist.
I didn't say that, Pianchi. And you know what? You get on my nerves with this silly stuff you come up with, okay? I did not say currency didn't exist. I said we had Federal Reserve notes. Now, you're not going to get my blood pressure up today, okay? So play with yourself, because I'm not going to play with you today.
Which one was the currency? The money wasn't real.
I'm not speaking to you anymore, Pianchi.
Okay. Sister, what else were you saying, Sister Ngoni?
That's all I was saying.
That's all
that
you
we
were
don't
saying.
Have control of the medium of exchange in our community that we control, that's why we can't, you know, we don't have total control. So we blame ourselves, and yes, we should take personal responsibility for ourselves,
uh-huh.
because I don't believe in victim mentality.
Uh-huh.
But the fact are we don't control a medium of exchange, and we don't control our education of our children to understand how to build the economy and be able to protect it from outside invasion. That's why you got Arabs and everybody else in communities and urban centers selling products that are made in China or somewhere else to you. You know, they'll sell you whatever. You know.
But if it was a community that was working together, they would have to help the community out. If they're in the community, they would have to help that community out, or the community don't do business with them, and if they don't, they go out of business. But if the community
that requires education. Does it not?
Blacks do just like any other United States citizen. They spend what they want to, they buy what they want to, and they go home when they get ready to. What makes blacks are black on the outside and white on the inside because you're in a dominant culture. How else would you expect them to act or react? Blacks themselves say they didn't want to follow the tenets on the back of Muhammad Speaks.
Okay. And so what made Muhammad such an expert?
He had a group that followed him. Those who want to do, those who don't have to. This mysterious we. All blacks in America are not the same. The United States citizens, if they want to spend with each other, they will. They spend their money where they want to. They tell you that.
Okay. But here's what I'm about to say. All right. If we had stayed where we were, you know, do you think the money would stay in our neighborhoods a little longer? You know, and this is what I'm talking about. See, because it goes down to what we call what they call advancement, progression, or however you want to say it. It's like the more we become educated, the more we forget about helping each other and want to help somebody else. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you, Pianchi?
No.
Of course it wouldn't. You know, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking about when I grew up and how the neighborhood was a neighborhood. You know, everybody helped each other, and you had the stores and everything, and nobody had a problem, you know. But now we became so educated to where we overlook ourselves or our own to help someone else, and that's not right, Pianchi. So I'm asking the question again, what have we learned? What have we learned from our, and you go back, look over history and all the stuff that's going on, right? All the stuff that has happened, we at this point right now in our so-called history or present, future, however you want to call it, and if you look back, everything's getting better, and they have actually gotten worse. Now, if you take a look at the the television programs and commercials, it's very rare that you see a commercial where you have a black man or a black woman. It's not like that anymore. Now, and Antoinette sent me something earlier today where it's this doctor want to do invertebral insemination for do mixed children. So I'm saying, what have we learned? You know, have we learned that we need to come back together as a community, or have we learned to each his own, you know, get in where you fit in, and anybody else that's not moving with you, oh, well, they fall by the wayside?
Well, Eric, if you think about history and you think about what happened in Kemet when Alexander the dog invaded Kemet and took the royal women as his concubine, and now you have Arabs all over North Africa, and you realize that those who didn't agree with integration there went down in the Sudan. So in my view, you have choices. Now, if you look on the back of the dollar bill, there's a Latin saying that says it means one people out of many. And so I think the plan is to make North America like South America, okay? And then they'll probably give us some statutes like they did the indigenous people, and they'll have them around in different little places, tourist places, to show what we used to look like a long time ago. So if you don't like what's going on, there's choices, you know, like they went down in Sudan because they wanted to remain the people that they are. But it doesn't seem to help very much, because look what's going on in the Sudan today.
Alexander didn't invade Egypt. He was welcomed.
Whatever, okay. Pianki.
Well, historically, that's true. He didn't invade. He was welcome. I mean, he's going to tell the story.
Yeah,
tell the story true.
What book was that written in, Pianki? Whose history was that?
Where did you get the idea that Alexander came in fighting Egyptians?
Don't answer. See, that's why I don't like to talk to you, because you ask questions and then you answer a question with a question. So when you come to me straight, we can talk. Until then, please, don't bother me.
All right.
Read Tony Broder's book, Now Valid Contribution to Civilization. It tells you that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The history of Alexander himself tells you that.
Oh, I'm
Alexander
sure you talked.
Alexander.
I'm
Sadis was cosmopolitan city. There was much integration going on in that area.
All right.
In human life, you got the case. You got those on the right, those on the left, and you got those in the middle.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me bring Michael and this lady in. Let's see what they have to say about on this subject. Hello, Miss Lady and Michael. How y'all doing today?
Great.
I'm doing wonderful.
Hello.
How you doing, Miss Lady? How you doing, Nagoni, Beasley, Pianki, Mace, Antoinette, Mr. Tug, all in the chat room. Wonderful day today.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful,
you know,
women are first, Miss Lady. Go ahead. Beautiful women are first.
Oh, thank you, Michael. You know, I just came in where I was hearing Eric pose a question about what has education, how has it helped, because it seems like things are worse. And I would propose that it has nothing to do with education. It has everything to do with the heart of the person, spirit in the heart. It has nothing to do with education. It just so happens that through education, a lot of people have been able to advance somewhat financially, but it has nothing to do with education per se. It's like if you're an asshole before you get money, you're going to be a bigger asshole after you get it. You know, if you're a spiritual, loving person, or you advance financially, you'll have more money and more resources to even become a more beautiful giving person. So that's what I education alone has nothing to do with this. Secondly, I believe you need people, if they're smart, not learn this, because I used to be so pro-black, I'm going to help my black people, and I have. But I've had black people try to undercut, undermine, sabotage, stab in the back, smile in your face. So you know what? I'm at the point now, if whoever has the right spirit, heart, and mind, that's what I'm going to help. And I'm not going to be bothered with the rest. I'm not going to be bothered with the energy vampires, the energy blood suckers, the saboteurs, and underminers. I'm not going to waste my time helping them. Well, and I don't want them to waste their time with me because we have nothing in common. So that's where I'm at. Now, a lot of black people are at that point now. They really are. I know the interracial couples, and you know they're on a whole different level. There's not just competition and this resentment, you know, based on skin color and gender and, oh, you got a better help up in life because you're a woman and you're a black person. It's none of that going on. I mean, you get this tired of the chair. So that's what, and I know a lot of people are moving forward. It's beyond skin color. It's the spirit.
I had a welder working for me, a black man that had a white girlfriend. And after 2 days, I fired him once I found out.
Well, that's you. I mean, not everybody feels that way.
Well, Bianca, you also said you had a lot of white employees, too, hired them. But I understand what you're saying. But, see, I've been an interrelation.
Hold on for a minute, Michael. Hold on for a minute, Michael. Miss Lady, were you through?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get beyond skin color. It is what it is. You know, nobody here set up the system, you know, the way it is, and the fallout from the system that's working 24/7. So you have to find a way to make it work for you and yours. And I don't mean in a greedy, taking, not caring kind of way. I mean, you got to be smart. You can get beyond all that and be able to, you know, handle your life, you know, and be joyful and be around people that are going to help you advance and not undermine and undercut and sabotage. But based on any reason, doesn't even matter what the reason is. Hmm. And so that's what people are doing. I find a lot of people have realized that. They've wasted a lot of time and energy trying to help a lot of folks that really didn't even help, but try to take
them out. All right. That's a good point. All right, go ahead, Michael.
Go ahead, Mr. Chuck. I forgot my thought. Now, you can move to the next person.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm
hey,
just joking. I'm just joking with you. I'm just joking.
Okay, well,
I'm joking. A little fun. But no, I mean, in my younger days, believe it or not, I was in I dated a white girl, only one in my life.
That explains a lot.
But whatever, Bianca, hush up. See, you were fine. I'm trying to feed my family. You fired the hell out of me. But anyway, the reason why I'm bringing that up, because it's very important, I don't care what color you are, that man and woman are still going to go through their ups and downs. Don't let it get confusing to think that a black man is going to marry a white woman and he's not going to go through some ups and downs, and, you know, just like any regular couple, you know, if they don't have what compromise is, it's not going to work. But I was listening to the show yesterday, and I'm getting to the title, What Does All This Mean? I mean, I understand you can speak facts about money, all the conspiracies, all the theories about money. It's not worth nothing. But having listened to the yesterday's show, I have to ask myself, what does that leave me? What am I going to do? Am I going to try to start a business? When I go to business school, are they teaching me the wrong thing? Am I going to be stagnant? All this information people giving me about this money, at the end of the day, is it telling me to play with my fingers and sit on my hands and don't do nothing? Or try to start a business, try to be a part of the economic system, try to get in the system to try to change the system? What is all this about? Because having heard that, I'm still motivating opening up my business. What are all these definitions and meanings for? Now, I'm just saying, if other people hear this that is stagnant, is that going to be motivation for them to hear that the dollar is worth nothing, we really don't own anything? What is the conclusion? What are you trying to convey to me? What do you want me to do? That's my question.
That's right,
that,
Mike.
What do you want me to do?
Because I'm a veteran. And my grandfathers and grandmother fought for this country. There is no possible way that I'm not going to go in and try to make it and be successful in this country or make it. I don't care. I'm going to make it, man, because I have every right for it. I fought for this country. My grandfathers picked cotton, billions. No, I don't look at those people with different colors and say that this is their country. That's not my attitude. I say I have every damn right that you have. That's my attitude. That's a fact. And that's what I move forward. And that's what motivates me. That's just me. That's all I wanted to say so far.
Okay. Well, Michael, let me ask you, you have every right as who to do what?
Every right as a human being. Every right as an American. And like Bianchi said, when you ask him who he is, I can give measurement. I can say, okay, first I'm a human being, but people give me titles. I can say that I am a citizen under laws, and I live under a geographical location on this earth. It's a measurement. Unfortunately, it don't supposed to be no lines in the earth, but until they change the lines, until they have a peace, I have a military defending me. I have other countries that can come over and take up this other country. So I do have some citizenship, and I do have rights. I can argue. I can change laws. I can do all that. Exactly. So that's who I am. So I'm letting you know my mindset. That is, this is not their shit. I got every right to this this land, just as any other culture, factually. And I can read my history books for that. So
that's
my motivation, bottom line. So that's
why
I will be getting them. And guess what? I want to make money with the government because I will have my government contract, and I will be making some money with them, bottom line. So you can say, well, don't work with them or not, shit. I'm getting my money.
Mike,
let me ask you a question.
Government talking, we need some information on some people that you talk on Blog Talk Radio with. We'll be issuing your check. Can you give us that information? Expect you to cooperate with us, right, Mike?
You
want to work with us, we want to work with you.
Mr. Allsex.
Who was that?
Just never mind who it is, lady. We're watching you, too.
But you, what are you watching? Maybe kind of more beautiful woman? Really?
Just keep talking. We're compiling the information.
Mr. Allsex.
It doesn't matter what you say or what you do. Why are you even interested in me? I'm not interested in you.
If the question was, we learning anything?
I
have some things.
This is the thing. This is interesting.
About?
I mean, really juvenile, to be honest.
Oh, Lordy, Lordy.
I mean, is that supposed to be a bail threat? Really? Do you think I'm afraid?
No, it's called a sarcastic joke, and if you had a sense of humor, maybe it would appeal
if
to
I
you.
Had a sense of humor.
It's okay to laugh. It's okay.
Okay
to laugh. It was only a joke, and I didn't mean to offend you.
And who is this? I'm sorry. I don't even know who you are.
I'm just a voice out there in the dang world. It doesn't make a difference. It's a voice that you're responding to. I'm not going to tell you that I'm God, but if I told you that I was close,
I mean, you have the name, right, that you use of Blog Talk. I mean, there's like a lot of different voices.
What difference
does it
make if I told you my name was Humpty Dumpty? I didn't mean to interrupt your conversation. I was really focusing on Mike.
I would rather not speak with you.
We have our eye on him.
Okay. All right. Can we move on?
Our conversation is over, okay? There's nothing there.
Thank you.
I don't find it humorous. But anyway, Michael was saying he's a citizen of the country. Yes, he has.
I think Mays had a question.
I have all the rights of citizenship. However, that the rights are not actually held to be equally the same. So the same standards are going to apply to everybody, as y'all know. So the issue is how are you going to make it work for you?
All right. Interesting.
I want to ask Mr. Allsex a question. After
Mays. All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Mays.
Oh, you asked what have we learned? But I do know some black people that own a Chick-fil-A. I know some own Waffle House. I know some own McDonald's. And they're close to communities, and people go there and purchase. And they're doing real well.
Okay.
Nice places.
And that's saying they learn what?
I mean, and then they have people homeschooling, a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
And they're learning. They took them out of the school system. And they're doing it at home. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so
you know what, Mays? you're right. I know of a man who has a high
My goodness, just break right in there.
That owns four McDonald's. He bought them years ago. He's growing. Years ago, because he
talk,
with
you don't cut
woman.
Off other people when they cut off other people.
He worked with a black woman, and he did not undermine. He wasn't trying to dominate, and he had enough sense to work with that woman. They own four McDonald's with a high school diploma.
Okay. I mean, I understand that, but that's like a needle in a haystack, basically, right about now. But hold on for a minute. Pianki, you had something for Michael?
Yeah, Mike, I had a question to ask you. Mr. OFX. He's gone.
He probably muted himself. Well, what's the question? Maybe the rest of us will answer it for you.
No, I was going to ask him because he was making aspirations of starting a business. And I was going to ask him something, but maybe I catch him next time.
Okay.
Maybe you got him muted.
No, I do not have. Yeah, just like you about to be on back up. Anyway.
I'm just wondering, you said you fired, when you found out the black man married the white woman, you fired him. That's interesting. Why would you do that? What was your reasoning?
He's racist. That's why.
I fired a white woman, too.
But she's married to a black man because that's his racist privilege. That's his. I mean, I don't know if it makes him a racist.
No. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's
I don't.
The
I really
question.
Don't. He's a.
I asked him why. What was he thinking? What was he getting based that on?
I think he might have been joking too, because I don't think he would do that. My guess, Pianki.
No, that's true.
Oh well, then you know you've got your racial trips like everybody else. Oh well, they shouldn't have let you know who they were dating. They should have went single to the Christmas party. Now they learned.
Well, hell, they was firing black men because they got a big case here in St. Louis now on Ballpark Village where they want to hire blacks outside demonstrating. Nobody ever asked them those questions.
You know what I learned from them grown folks that used to talk to me? They used to
I was trying to get a point out, man. You just jump right over me. God.
Well, why don't you hurry up and do it? Because you're not dealing with slow St. Louis people.
I mean, you got
two people
asking questions. Eric, what you gonna do?
I'm gonna mute you. You're gonna ask your question. Finish up. Go ahead. You wanna say what you got to say?
Yeah, I fired him. Fired her. Hell, he got the demonstrations going on in downtown St. Louis today because the project is not hiring blacks. Nobody never jumps on them.
That's going on all over the country, Pianki. That's nothing new.
Yeah, you got contractors firing black men all over the country, right? So why come I can't do it?
They're firing contracts all over the country is what they're doing. The black unemployment rate is very high.
It's double the national average, but you know what? Here's the thing, you know, and you see it all the time in the NFL. You know, as long as they can say they have interviewed a person of color, you know, they don't have to hire them. And even if they do hire them, they can keep them for whatever, and then find some reason to fire them.
What's the Roselle rule? What do they call that?
Yeah, the Roselle rule.
Yeah, where they have to hire people. That's a.
They don't even have to hire them. Just interview.
Yeah,
okay.
You would have fired Obama's mother then.
Fired who?
You would have fired Obama's mother then.
No, I wouldn't have fired Obama's mother. Like B just said, I never would have hired her.
Right. See, you don't. She doesn't know you that well.
You wouldn't.
She don't know.
Okay.
She don't know you like I know you.
Well, let me ask you, Pianki, since you are the businessman, you know, what brings you to that, to where you won't, you know, what is the decision-making process to where you won't hire a certain individual, you know, especially if they're of color? I mean, you know, enlighten us, please.
Who said I wouldn't hire people of color?
I'm just asking. Okay, I'm sorry. Certain individuals then. Is that better?
It just didn't fit in the scheme of things.
Ah, okay.
He couldn't have said that any wider if he wanted to, and I'm not saying that as a bad thing, But you know what? That's the reality of the world. The reality of the world is that if you're not self-sufficient and you're unable to be independent and make your own way, you're going to be subject to someone else's whims. It doesn't have to be logical. It doesn't have to be legal. It doesn't have to be right. What he's saying is that his whims, I don't feel like they'll fit in. His whim.
So let me ask this question here real fast to the panel there. What Beasley just said, doesn't it seem like integration fell along those lines right there? Think about it. And Pianki just put something in, I can't find it now, about, you know, the best way to keep somebody down is to invite them in. You know, is that what integration actually did?
Invite them in or keep them out, either way.
Well, the best way is to keep them under your thumb, right? Now, how you do that? Bring them in.
No, no, because then the black and the brown wouldn't be the way it is. So, you know, you invite only a certain type of person in that's going to keep the system going. And you only then limit those numbers. It's just a business decision. And it's a loss in their minds. But, oh, well, businesses take losses. And that's how it is. So, you know, next.
I don't think that's one of the intentions of the people that pushed for civil rights and for integration, but the way it's turned out 20, 30, 40 years later, it's one of the byproducts. And it's too complicated a situation, an issue, for just a real simplistic answer on something. But it is a byproduct, but it's better than it was 50 years ago.
Bottom line, you can't force somebody to hire you. You can't force somebody to treat you respectfully. You can't force somebody to be a mentor to you on the job. You can't make somebody.
What you can do is you can force yourself to improve yourself. You can force yourself to sharpen your skills. You can force yourself to think through a path of how you want your life to work. Of course, it's going to be bumps in the road, but you don't have any control over what these hiring authorities or anyone else does. What you do have control over is yourself, and it is your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job to put yourself in that position, and it's not going to be easy. There's going to be bumps in the road, but what's your alternative? Constantly having your hand out, or feeling like a victim, or taking a chance and improving your skills and feeling like a victor most of the time.
And that's why I say you go to where you're going to get the help and support to get it going.
Okay,
because,
let me ask this question. I'm sorry.
Let me ask
this question. You say you can't force anybody to hire you, but where does affirmative action fall into this at?
Yeah, they
There's
killed
no more
affirmative action.
That's over
they,
with.
Yeah, they,
the
killed
they,
killed, they, killed, they killed affirmative action.
Oh, they
That's
did?
Over. They gave us they gave you they gave black people a small window of opportunity and slammed the door shut.
There's some truth to that. And there's a whole generation that benefited.
And they're the ones like Clarence Thomas that have slammed the door.
And there's a lot of them that laws in America don't own what they used to have own anyway. Foreigners own part of this country now.
I heard that
it took care of some of it. Affirmative action.
I heard they came in and bought up Detroit. Non-black people, it was so cheap. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's the age. I don't know who came and bought up Detroit. But you know, and how you get out of
Detroit is going to be it's going to be the ham you're eating too. They're trying to buy that if you eat ham.
They could have Detroit. I would have gave it to them. I would have gave them Detroit and a couple of dollars to take it off my hands.
What I said what happened to Detroit is the same thing that happened in over New Jersey. The governor went to Detroit, and that's why I went to the place that it is.
Because all over the university, where there was all horrible boarded up buildings, is being bought up, gentrified, and folks moving in with money, and it's changing, just like Harlem. So Detroit's not going to stay the same.
That's happened all over the country.
That's right.
That's
Atlanta
all over the country.
You're going to see it where you live.
That's happened all over the country. That's happened all over the country. And groups and large groups of white folks that had jobs in the cities have abandoned their suburban places, and they bought into the cities because they got tired of the damn drive and the commute and access to all the benefits of living in cities like restaurants and the arts and a certain quality of life, and they moved the hood out to the suburbs.
And you should see all of those foreclosed houses out in the suburbs.
I live around them. You should see
it's a good opportunity to buy some up.
Mm-hmm. Buy them and rent them.
Yeah, rent them to Section 8 folks. You have people that have bought out in the suburbs, out in San Francisco Bay Area, that bought a home for whatever, you know, a good deal for a home for $300,000-$400,000. They watch the market drop where the house is worth $200,000, so they're underwater if they kept the house. And then investors had purchased these homes and put Section 8 people in them. So you've got people that are going to work that are getting their houses broken into on the regular. Not that all Section 8 people break into houses, but some sure do.
And there's no jobs out there, so now they're stuck in commute. They're stuck in heavy commutes. They don't have time to spend with their children. They're worn out and tired and stressed. The kids are, you know, their schools aren't that good. And so there you go. So it's like...
It looks like the answer at the time, but there's, you know...
But Beasley, the Section 8 people live when they live in the suburb. They live out there anyway. You just didn't know it. You know who's on Section 8.
Well,
that was living
you kind of know it now out here in the outskirts of the San Francisco Bay Area. It's because they closed down housing projects, large housing projects that control thousands of people. And those cities, Richmond, Oakland, and San Francisco, have eliminated those Section 8 housing areas and just the whole vouchers that went there, and they transferred those vouchers to another county in coordination with the developers. They did this 15 years ago, and everything just took its natural course.
But when they went from the inner cities to the suburbs, they were
and they've done that all over, and that's been by design.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's going to be some Section 8 people in the inner city too, but they're not going.
Not as many. Look at Chicago. Chicago's torn down huge housing projects. The Cabrini Greens, all of those ones along Indiana Avenue and 15th. I don't know what they're called. They've torn them down. They've displaced the gangs where gang members are having to move into a neighborhood that they're foreign to, and then they're wondering why there's problems like that. But it's all about gentrification. And if it weren't for the collapse of the housing market in 2008 and on, you would have seen it continue further. That just stalled it. It's going to continue.
Where are displaced people going? They don't have their, I guess they need, where are they going? They're getting farm subsidies, and people don't know who they are. They just like normal people, the farm subsidies people, and they live amongst the rich people.
If you talk to some of them, you'd probably be shocked. They probably own Mercedes and everything else, and they on Section 8. But they call them farm subsidies. They're not called the low-income people. It's just another program for, like, you go in the store and you're shopping. I'm going to put it like this. Early in the morning, if you went to Walmart, you'll see a different group than you would in the evening time in certain places. And
yeah,
they're sending the same thing.
Them poor white folks, they're leaving with pallets of stuff.
You just don't know.
I don't know. The way the country's going is just bad. I mean, you just see
and
it
you also
now.
Have... And if you go further down south, you got white people and black people living in the projects. And it didn't just start. It's always been that way. But then they have one section where it's just, I mean, just the two groups. Maybe they may have like three sections on one side of town, and then you got one section on the side of town where they just got them mixed.
You know what? I was speaking to a conservative the other day, and we were talking about, and it's just, see, the mindset of certain people, it just does not make sense.
Michael, I'm so sorry, but Eric asked me to let 313 in. So hold that thought.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just...
Okay.
No, you didn't know. I want to apologize. Okay. Area 313, you're online, and Michael is speaking. So welcome in. Go ahead, Michael.
No, let 313 go in. Let's go in. I think that may be less. Go in.
You were
done.
Speaking first. You're welcome to continue your thoughts.
Oh, okay.
I was just setting them in the line.
But see,
you know, let you get a word in. You better get it out now.
But see, the mindset of people, Nagoni, when we're talking about, see, I like Obama's chess move about the 10-10 on government contracts. Now, I was talking to a conservative, and we just look at the numbers. Just 5 years ago, let alone just 6 years ago, the federal minimum wage was $5.85, less than $6. They're coming back to me, and this is their concepts: is that if we raise the minimum wage, people going to lose jobs, and prices go up. I said, well, hold up. Let's look at the facts. When minimum wage was still $7.25 across the board, prices have still been rising. So don't talk about prices rising, okay? Now, remember, there's two ways about the minimum wage. We were talking about executive order earlier. Obama can use executive order to raise a wage in a specific federal department, but he can't do it across the board. Congress must do that. Congress still has $7.25 across the board. Now, that says that all states within the union has to pay them a minimum of $7.25. Now, the states can obviously go up, maybe make $8, $10. I think in Ohio, here in Maryland, I think it's $7.65. or something like that. But now this is my point. When Obama, because he didn't grandfather it, okay, I mean, because I think he didn't, yeah, I think he grandfathered it, meaning that the new contractors, federal contractors, their minimum is going to be 10 per hour. But if a person worked 6 months before them or a year before them, they're still going to be at seven something an hour, which causes an unfairness. So when you have that unfairness on the workplace, what is it going to do? It's going to make people want to lift it up even more, the stakes. Now, because that's what you have to force that. Now, for anybody that sit here and say that this United States government, as of now, and all these Republicans come back and says prices are going to raise, haven't done that, they're playing with numbers, not make a minimum wage minimally at least $10 across the board, they're crazy. This is crazy. You're talking about.
Well, Mike,
weed?
Let me ask you a question. If Obama's so enthused about raising the minimum wage, why don't he do away with the federal tax on minimum wage employees, and that would just about get it up to about $9.15 an hour?
See, look at you, see, Bianchi, you're a businessman. I know you got to make profits. He waiting. See, now you're saying $9.15. Golly, Bianchi.
I said do away with the federal tax on minimum wage. If you take the federal tax and give it back to the wage earner, then he would probably take home an extra dollar an hour.
So you're saying if you make a minimum wage, don't pay federal income taxes? They don't pay it anyway. They still get a
yes,
tax.
They do.
If you get a minimum wage, you're going to get a tax refund. So they're not paying Fed; they're paying state tax.
They get a tax refund, then they get about an extra $4,000 of earned income credit, right?
Okay, right. But listen, hold on.
So wait a minute. So if you take the earned income credit, which is about $4,000, and divide that by 2,008 hours, that's about an extra $2,000. So you're already up to about $10 an hour.
But they're getting it back.
So
Some
people are making $11 an hour, so some companies are starting people off with $11 an hour, and they want to pay $10.10. So the companies are paying $11 an hour, the people are doing great. They got insurance, and they got everything, and they have stock in the company.
Mace,
what
he's saying.
I know what he's saying.
Mace, hold up.
Hold up, Mace. What we're talking about, it has to be a standard. And like I told those conservatives, they want people to live a certain standard of life. They want people to be perfect and live just like they want to live. But they don't want to have a standard of a living wage. And they saying they won't move up. What Obama is saying, yes, you can pay him $12, $13, Mace, but he's saying the standard has to be lived. The bare minimum has to come up. And my proposal was, let's go ahead and lift up the minimum wage, but you can keep the same limits as qualifying for services or subsidies as the same. So guess what? Either you're going to pay them in subsidies or you're going to pay them per hour. And these greedy business owners and their business plans are not looking up for it. So you cannot sit up here and agree. Look, $7.25 across the board in this nation is a disgrace, Bianchi. You can't move from that. And price has been rising.
Well, let me
up.
Ask you something, but Mike.
I can answer your question. I can answer your question why the president didn't post it that way. Because what
ahead,
you
Beezy.
Say doesn't make sense. It's because it's simply not as politically sexy. It doesn't appeal to people. Here it is. You raise the minimum wage for people doing business with the federal government. Federal contractors have to pay their people this amount of money, and he probably won't be able to push the other part through Congress to make the general minimum wage. He put that out there, and he made that an executive order because it's going to be popular. It's going to pick up with the bottom of the economy or the low income worker, and it's going to be politically popular. It's going to get him votes. This is why politicians do things.
It's not about
providing the most amount of relief to the poor, to the working poor. It's about doing something relatively insignificant to make you feel like they're on your side.
No, some states are doing it anyway.
Most people who work in government contracts make more than $10 an hour. What he's saying is, let's say if I go get a door an event, you may have somebody cleaning up or something like that, or a cafeteria model, something like that. But most people have government contracts. Come on, man. I mean, we make good salaries. But I'm saying, those bottom line, like you're saying, but see, it has to be a standard. So I think he's good. When he did it, I think he's forcing other people to go ahead and lift it up. That's what I think.
Hold on for a minute. Let me bring Les Jackson in and get him to add his little bit to the conversation.
Little bit.
All right, Mr. Jackson, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Good evening. How you doing? All that good stuff. You know what? First of all, I want to just clarify something, because what we're doing, especially with the city of Detroit, and everybody's talking about the bankruptcy, and they're not even – They're looking at what mainstream is feeding them, and nobody has the facts about Detroit and how much money is now being pumped in Detroit to diversify this city so that it can come back up to a standard that needs to be come up to. Once we start becoming just consumers and stop trying to progress into going into the next level, because nobody told you to consume, it said be fruitful and multiply. When we stop multiplying, and I'm talking about on the production end, when we stop as blacks investing in business, I like what Mike said earlier about trying to do his thing, get out there and start your own business. This is what we're boiling down to. Detroit is just another – it's a project to show the rest of the world what you can do, because everybody knows you make it here, you make it anywhere. And so this is just a model. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype that you read in your newspaper. There is more money that has been pumped in to Detroit since they declared this bankruptcy. It's just like a restructuring act. And we needed to restructure this city. If we don't restructure the city, we're going to lose so many people to where we'll become a doggone rural area, a ghost town. And it's coming
well,
to
Les.
Every town near you.
Can
so
I ask you, Les,
just showing you the
Detroit? What group
what?
Of people have bought? Because I think I heard that Chinese corporations were coming and sending people buying up multiple properties at a time in the country. So who's buying all the properties in Detroit?
Who's buying all the properties? You've got small investors. Matter of fact, we just had three of four young black entrepreneurs that presented a beautiful business program that was fit, proper, and they are sitting back developing land. they're developing things. You look, you will always have the fat cats doing their thing. So what?
Hey, Les.
They still didn't say you couldn't do your thing. What we got to do is start getting into the thing and saying, look, you know what? We done moved into a new day and age. It's not about me trying to just work for you. It's me trying to sit back and do the best that I can do to make it where I don't have to depend upon you. You know,
exactly.
we heard a great statement Obama made in that speech, the State of the Union, that nobody ever listened to, nobody quoted. He says, it depends on you to make a difference. And that is really the bite line to that whole thing. Go ahead.
And because no one can do it by themselves.
Can't the lady keep jumping in?
Eric
don't never cut her off.
Like mine.
You know what?
I really,
my business deal with white folks, black folks, Chinese folks, African folks. I don't care. Your money is green, it's spendable. I'm going to spend it.
If you give it to me,
I'm going to spend it and use it for the betterment of my community, for my people, and for everybody else that I can help along the way. But I can only lead a horse to the water. I can't make it drink.
Hey, Les, I got to ask you a question.
We have had all of these. We've had all these prime examples. We get these examples. We get everything that we need to get. And nobody's just going to sit back and spell it out to you. Nobody's going to sit back and give you a break-by-break breakdown of what you need to succeed, because what they did might not work for you. They can only give you the basic structure of what they did, and it's a structure. Business all falls in the same structure. Some of us get it, some of us don't. I'm not blaming nobody for anything that I failed at. I'm not blaming nobody for sitting back and not dreaming my dream and living on the hope that I know I'm just as good as that next person out there, and I deserve to have just as much.
Hey, Les.
Okay.
Fionga got to ask a question. He's been trying.
Excuse me.
Oh,
there's somebody that has some background noise. I'm trying to find it. If whoever has got the background noise would please eliminate it so I won't have to keep muting you guys trying to find the noise. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Les.
Let's not just high five to you. It sounds
okay,
great.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You mentioned that you had some young black males that was presenting a good plan, and they're going about making money in Detroit. You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, well, apparently they don't believe in the scenario that the money ain't worth nothing, right?
They don't believe the money ain't working. The money working.
It's not, no,
wait
a minute. The money is not worth anything.
You know what? Money is worth what we want it to be worth. Money ain't nothing but a
I just asked because I had heard that it wasn't worth anything.
Well, look, money is just a printed piece of paper, but you need it to trade, borrow, barter, whatever you going to do. I bet you this. I bet you always want it.
And let me, now another thing,
people,
I heard that you...
Watch this, Bianchi. People talk about what money ain't worth. That sounds like one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard. For the simple fact...
Now, the statement was that Federal Reserve notes have exchange value. That's what the statement was, to clarify.
Okay, but see, I just want to say something real quick.
Go ahead, Michael.
In programming, when you deal with customers and programming, I think with any business, people have a problem, you know. They may not know what they want to do with their money. They may have a system that you may want to set up for them. But see, we have to know the problem. But when you deal with people to get, and this is my whole point, you have to know what do you want? What is the end result? What do you see? That's why I always say, if this society is all messed up, what other society, how do you think that things should go and run? That's what I have to do in my business. What do you want? If someone gives me a problem and I have to program it, I'm going to say, okay, how do you want your system to run? Once they give me the end result, then I can come up with a step to get there.
You have to know what the people are going to look like at the end result. And this, and what I'm hearing is, I'm not hearing people, every time I ask people about money when it comes to gold, well, who puts the value of gold? They still get stuck. So what I'm saying is, if we're going to be complaining about this system, what other system that you have, and how it's going to look like, how is it going to look, how it's going to be ran, how it's going to be governed, and maybe we can get there. But no one ever gets there.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, click 3, 0, 5.
What in the world?
That's not me.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 4, 0, 5, 4.
Okay. Keep going, Michael. Keep going.
But, yeah, but basically with all the programs, just like in Detroit, they have to look at what the end result is going to look like. Once you know what your end result is going to look like, you can come up with ways of getting there. And there can be many different ways of getting there.
And you know what, Mike? Detroit already got they know what their solution going to be. We know where we going. You know, it's just like a tag word. If I put bankruptcy out there, everybody get all spooked out. They get all willy-nilly because they love to hear this old negative, you can't make it,
Donald Trump,
you can't do it on your own, negativity.
Donald Trump signed for bankruptcy twice. Donald Trump, a billionaire,
Anytime you have a system, you have to have a system.
Well, look, anytime you have a system, and if that system, you have to give someone a base of starting over in any type of system, factually.
Everybody does it because of the trial and error and the determination and the willingness to sacrifice what they have in order to make their dream come true.
Well, Les, let me ask you a question about Governor Snyder.
I've been trying to
ask you this question for the last 5 minutes.
Ask me this question, Piangi, because I have not heard you ask the question, so that's why I'm asking you what.
Well, I know you didn't hear me, but listen, what's this? What Governor Snyder wants 50,000 visas for highly skilled immigrants to move into bankrupt Detroit? Can't you find that amongst your own people?
What? No, no.
Wow.
You know, look at this. Here's what Detroit is about to do.
What?
And I'm going to tell you what they're going to do.
That story. Ask me about this story. I want to know why Snyder come up with that.
I'm going to Google that up. What is that?
Let him answer.
I got the link in the chat room.
Can I answer the question? Will you let me answer the question and quit trying to tell me what you're going to tell me? If you know the answer, don't ask me a question because you play with my intelligence.
Oh, my.
Here's why he asked me, did what he did. He understands one thing. The state of Michigan, and especially the city of Detroit, we must become more diversified with people that have income that are willing to do what it takes to move to that next step, but yet still respect the things that they must do. Anytime you have 74% of the people that don't pay property taxes, you have set yourself up for a disaster, okay? You have set a city up for a disaster, and people knew this. And what we had is people that sat back, a lot of young people, we were giving them houses and things like that. They wouldn't keep them. They moving every 4 and 5 months from house to house to house to house, wouldn't pay a bill. If you're not going to be responsible, this is the end result of non-responsibility. And any time that we are not going to be responsible for our actions, I don't care where you are, anywhere in the world, this is what happens.
Well, you mean to tell me that you don't have 50,000 skilled Detroit, Michigans that could do the same thing where you're going to bring in immigrants because they're going to send their profits back home?
You know what? No, you don't, because you got that mentality. Here's the mentality that most of us have as a black group of people. We want to live a champagne lifestyle, but we got a beer budget education. Now, I can't put it no simpler than that.
Well, I didn't say black people. I said Michigan.
No. I'm going to tell you. Because
when
Detroit
you say Detroit, you're saying black people. Detroit's a cold
No, I said Michigans.
Okay, listen. Listen, and locally here, right, and this is crazy, but we have to think about something. In my city, all black, you know, city council, all of that. Why is a denominately, I'm talking about the city. I know we got to deal with the state, but let's just talk about locally city, right? Most of our cities are owned in politics are black people. Why should a black city and our contractors have to, say, write a bill guaranteeing African Americans to get a certain percentage of the city contracts when the city is predominantly black? We want it anyway. Why would you ever have to write a bill like that? It's crazy.
Because just because blacks have political control don't mean that they have real control. It's the same thing that happens on the federal level.
You know what, I'm glad.
I'll explain to you why, Mike. I'll explain to you why. Real simple. It won't even take 10 seconds. It's because the structure is still controlled by the moneyed interest. The moneyed interest put the politicians in and out of office. And just because you have a black face as a politician doesn't necessarily mean he's representing the interests of the majority of black people. Period. Mm.
Well, hold on. I got somebody want to come in and kind of add to that, Beasley. So let me bring Lisa in and see what she has to add. Hello, Lisa. How are you today?
Hey. Doing good. I just wanted to bring up the point. I know earlier we were talking about black businesses and how, you know, if they don't give us good business, we go ahead and take our money elsewhere. And it's interesting how other races don't feel that way. Like you could take an Arab guy. He could get screwed over by another Arab guy, but you'll never hear him say, I'm tired of Arabs. I'm going to give my money to the black community. It'll never happen. Same thing with Asians.
I agree with you, lady.
They don't think that way. They'll just try another Asian. They will not try us. And also, too, as far as black people getting together to run businesses, the problem with us is we are mixed with so many different races and ethnicities. It's hard for us to come together collectively. I mean, one of us could be this or that. You know what I mean? It's hard for us to, you know, to agree.
I think
I don't understand. Where did he come up with the idea that blacks don't pay property taxes?
I get what she's saying.
Oh, she's saying the truth.
No, you can get a group of Arabs and they're united, let's just say, by the their cultures are the same and their religion's the same, but you could put two black people together. One could be a Baptist, one could be a Catholic, one could be a Kappa,
Muslim.
The other one could be a Sigma, one could be an atheist. Yeah, so
right, exactly.
They won't pay their property taxes in Detroit.
Detroit is just a dump, and it's been a dump, and anybody could see this coming.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise,
and
it's not coming back.
Detroit is a what? It's a dump.
Would a Christian
Don't take it personal. Every major city where black have the majority rule is a dump. Now, be real with yourself.
Can I ask a question?
Don't get crazy and go whitey on me.
I'm not the only one that thinks that. May I ask a question? Because it's going back up what Lisa's saying. Would a black Christian help out another black Christian before a black Christian help out a black atheist?
Oh, yeah,
because
you know what I was mainly talking about is what I was trying to say is, you know how if we have a bad experience by a black business, we'll say, oh, see, they don't know how to run business. I'm going to go over here to this Asian store. But see, but with them, they could get screwed over by their own, but they'll keep trying just another one. Say, for instance, if a Japanese person gets screwed over by another Japanese person, they'll move on and try another Japanese person. They won't try us because it's like, no, we're keeping this money right here.
Well, you know the difference between a Muslim and a Christian. A Christian would put a fuse on his bomb 2 blocks long. A Muslim would strap his to his chest.
Bianchi. Bianchi, you are so.
Well, but it's right, I mean, because we have a lot of spending power. They estimate in 2017 we'll spend $1.3 trillion as a group of skin-colored African-American people on entertainment and, you know, sports gear. All of entertainment. From all of that. Right, we have a lot of spending power.
Where does all this money come from? One study will say we're not making any money, and another study will say we're spending all this money. So we can't have it both ways.
You know what? There was a great document. There was a great interview that was just done the other day.
Hold that thought for me just 1 minute, and let me bring Chief Rob in and go ahead and finish your thought. Chief Rob, you're open. Go ahead, Les.
Okay. There was a great interview that was just done with T.D. Jakes the other day.
Oh,
and like they said, love him or hate him, he made a great statement. He said, we have learned to be consumers and not producers. And anytime you become
more than you produce,
you are setting yourself up for a failure. Now, you can run with that.
You have T.D. Jakes concerns.
But how
But look, if you look at the if you go by statistics, overall, black men and women, the black race, consumes more than any other race in the United States. That's a fact, as Mr. Paul Fact would
Where's
say.
This
what
money
fact
coming
is a
that's
fact?
Not true.
That's not true. You want to know what? This is
let me say something.
Everybody consumed.
I didn't say product. I said produce.
Well, no,
a consumer base, then we are a producing base. That's what I said. I will
well,
let
what
you
can
look
we produce?
At the interview, go look at the interview for yourself. It makes good sense. We just don't want to see the truth when the truth is out there before us, and we want to sit back and keep on feeling ourselves with lies.
Blacks just don't go ahead. Hold on.
You know what? I'm tired of blaming everybody else for our deficiency.
Okay, Les.
What happened to Rob?
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead, Rob.
Hello?
You know, Les, you can partially write, you know, but with most black folks, they don't spend their money to go ahead and make it work for them. They constantly want to give their money away. Don't go ahead and create their own industry. Don't even want to go ahead. You can make your own socks or do things for themselves. You got to go ahead and live in this fantasy, this materialistic world, and they think that's the way it's supposed to be.
And that's exactly what the statement says. See,
no, you didn't say that.
I got a question, Eric.
So the thing is by going ahead being that a lot of black people are comfortable with being consumers, which that mindset has been, that seed's been planted in you a long time ago. The hard thing is to try to go ahead and break that cycle and go ahead and kill them seeds and get you to thinking about going ahead and being in business. No jobs are going to help Detroit. It's going to be back in that same thing. This is a constant circle. They've already done this. They know how to go ahead and control it. They can let you go ahead and move to the area pretty soon. They let you go ahead and let the area run down, and you're still paying out everything to other people. I live in Chicago, where these houses here in Chicago, in these rundown areas, blacks still don't own them, so they've been renting there and renting out the suburbs. This is a horrible.
Hello?
Yeah.
Somebody has some background noise. Can you guys, if you're in a high noise area, could you please mute yourself out? I'm muting everybody to find it.
Hello?
You know who that is?
All facts.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Chef Rob.
Yeah, go ahead, Bianchi.
I want to ask.
Was that Chef Rob talking? Said, go ahead, Bianchi.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, go ahead, Bianchi.
I got a question to ask Les. Now, I hear everybody say that blacks is the largest, blacks spend more money than anybody else in the country. Now, that can't be right because African Americans, as a minority, has the lowest population. than any other minority group. So tell me, how can those lowest population?
Where do you come up with this? When we the second largest?
Wait a minute,
I'm
supposed to be talking. We listened to you for the last half hour. I can understand why all facts cut you off all the time. Now, as I was saying, how is it that blacks who have the smallest population, the lowest medium income, how are they the largest spending consumer group in the country? That's not possible unless you use some type of math I don't know nothing about.
Unless they're the biggest group it is and not the smallest.
We're not. What blacks are is that we'll constantly spend more than what we have. We're the ultimate consumer is what they're saying, and that we'll make emotional consumer purchases, emotional purchase like some rims for your car that cost more than the car, and you will go into a contract for a car when you don't own your home. Those are just financially not sound things to do. I think that's what they're speaking to.
Well,
Beasley,
I see carnival ships being confiscated. What do you call it when they come out and take it again? I see carnival ships being repossessed. People dock into a port and come back, they luggage and stuff on the dock. Blacks don't own no carnival ships.
We ain't talking about no portable ships, Bianca. We're talking about consuming goods.
People
get into financial hardship based on medical bills, unemployment. You can be employed 1 year and not the next. So let's not be so judgmental and harsh about black folks. Yes, we are consumers. Hello?
Thank you.
Corporations file bankruptcy over and over again. Didn't Donald Trump file bankruptcy a couple of times?
Yeah, you're right, Miss Lady, he did. Donald Trump was able to borrow more money.
Who did he come back and target?
One of my best business teachers filed bankruptcy 7 times.
Yeah.
Right.
Donald Trump was allowed to borrow money again.
That is not going to be the problem. Donald Trump is going to be Donald Trump.
Miss Lady, what was finish your point, please?
Thank you, Goni.
You are, Michael. You have been all along. Miss Lady, would you finish your point about bankruptcy?
Yes, it's a business decision. It's not it shouldn't be held to be simply a moral decision or a simple emotional deficiency decision. People, corporations, small and large, file bankruptcy, reorganize all the time. You know, so
that's
guaranteed by the Constitution.
Okay,
now,
so
the bankruptcy rules have changed, making it harder for the small person to do it.
Bush changed
but
him in 2000.
They should allow you to bankrupt.
No, that's
true.
You can't shake loose credit card debt.
Yeah, and
Well, I just wanted to say something about what Lisa and Pianki were saying about how we spend money. The numbers are not wrong about our spending power, about other cultures. See, other cultures are not connoisseurs of things like we are. Us, we're Americanized, and we like to buy, we like
to spend. But you know what?
Hold on for a minute. I know that they like to spend, but what I'm letting you know, we buy things. I'm letting you know my closet. Well, I'm just saying, we buy unnecessary stuff. We like to buy stuff, and I'm letting you know we have a lot of spending power. Okay, we're raised that way. Some people from other cultures, they come over here. Okay, they like to spend, but they'll save their money. They're more saviors in other countries.
Yes,
we like to spend.
Back home,
you can't talk about our saving habits and then say we don't spend a lot of money. That's a contradiction. We have a lot of spending power.
Hold on, Michael. All right, hold on, because, you know, y'all beating this to by the way, he's about to choke the hell out of me. It's simple. We as black folk, we live beyond our means, okay?
That's
by living beyond our means, we spend money. on things that we don't need. And other cultures, they're willing to sacrifice to save their money and do what they need to do. And it's not a big secret that we are one of the, you know, we spend our money, you know, and,
right.
and like somebody on who said we buy our rims, we'll tint some windows, you know, we'll go and get the flashy clothes or what have you, just to say we have it. We don't need it, just to say I wanted it and I bought it. So that's where the spending power comes in. Now, if we could harness that and get everybody to live within their means, then it would be a different situation. That's all that everybody's trying to say.
Well,
now, let's move on from
there. Yeah, I understand that.
They're so loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right,
what else is this? Of one of his friends who went to her senior ball out of high school and spent all that money on a pair of Louboutin shoes. Now, to me, that's just ridiculous.
Why
can't get a pair of those under $800? So, to me, that's just stupid.
You're right. Yeah. Go ahead, Lisa.
No, I was going to say, we get into a dangerous situation when we start lumping us all together, because as far as black people go, you have Africans, Haitians, Jamaicans, you got blacks from Belize, and when you say all of us, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Do this and that. I don't. Yeah, that's a little dangerous there, because we all come from different cultures and we all grew up with different spending habits. So
even American blacks, even American blacks that were born in America, we came up different.
Yeah.
Part of the reason.
I think people purchase based on emotional, how they feel emotionally.
Absolutely.
And if you don't feel like
they
you have real
what
power
they can
afford. in terms of you don't have your own business, you don't feel empowered in life, you feel better if you buy something nice and wear it.
And they market that to
people who are not empowered. You know, they don't have their a lot of them intact families with, you know, leadership qualities in the parents, maybe a father that's there with a business, you know, bringing his children into the business. They're going to maybe a lot of inferior schools. There's just a lot of problems. And so, you know, then all this materialism and these reality shows promote consumerism and design a label.
You're right, but you know what?
Yeah.
The whole society, every commercial is promoting commercialism. Commercialism doesn't just affect black folks.
Some people want to go to another country, to Italy, Spain, and all them different places. They're spending their money on that. You might be spending money on some shoes, but they're spending more money on a cruise or either going to another country. We don't do that. And then you got people from other countries coming over here and spending
their
money back home. That's how it's
spending. They spend their money on travel and experiences, and we spend ours on stuff.
I just thought you said we can't generalize people, and you're just going to generalize everybody.
Well, I know because I know a lot of them.
No, I wanted to say this.
Yeah.
May I clarify something, though? I just want to clarify something because people say I'm overgeneralized. What B just said, American, quote-unquote, black-skinned Americans that's born. I'm letting you know that. I understand we're different backgrounds, but I'm just talking about economics and commerce now, spending. How someone comes from the different cultures or different backgrounds, from the inner city, from people who moved out into the suburbs to call themselves, quote-unquote, African-American people. I'm saying traditionally we are Americanized, and we buy a lot of stuff versus other ethnic groups that still come over here. Just like Martin Luther King said, we had 30 billion back
then. You spend the same, but you're just spending it in different ways.
Yeah,
right,
I think back in the day,
I think this is something new.
Because our parents didn't spend money like this, that what you're saying, because they saved their money and bought houses and things of that nature.
I don't know. My grandparents had about 20 color televisions. Color televisions on copper television.
No.
That's another story. They owned their house.
Lisa, look at your closet.
Television folks. They never.
Look at all them shoes you have, Lisa. Lisa, look at your closet, Lisa. Look at all them shoes.
They own their home.
When
the color was out, they bought another color TV to went on top of it. But so we're the ultimate. But we're from a consumer society. Everybody consumes.
Hey,
it's
Mike.
Built on consumption. What happened?
You know why?
What happened after 9/11?
Okay, hold on. Everybody, hold on. Okay, everybody, hold on for a minute. Let me bring a new point of interest in. Let's bring Joe to the stage, see what Joe has to add to the conversation. Welcome, Joe. How are you?
Hey, I have nothing to add because I don't know what the conversation is about. I was busy trying to fix the hum on my phone. So I'm sure there's a battle going on. Try to let the battle go on.
We're talking about white people and haven't had his foot on the black man in America for the past 300 years.
And Lowe's not there? Or is
and
he
not? And not the money they spend on.
I'm joking. We're talking about, I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about consumerism and black folks.
Yeah. And they spend their money on shoes and not traveling and going on cruises and stuff like that. Compared
I just
to
went on a cruise in October.
That's that mixed blood in you.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with cruises. I've been cruised a couple of times myself. There's nothing
I
wrong
love
with
cruising.
That.
Yeah, I went to the Bahamas.
Cruising.
I loved it.
But see, the thing is, if you can afford it, yes. But if you can't afford it, that's where the issue comes in. And
exactly.
then
oh,
the
yeah,
other
exactly.
thing is, if you're overspending, that means it's taking resources. You don't have the resources. And if you put that in a big, the big picture, that's part of that is the problem. Really, we don't really have the resources. Now I know some of you are going to argue,
Joe,
say,
you
yes,
know what we're talking
but no, we
about.
Don't. We don't
the
have
resources,
the real resources.
Some of those
cruises,
some people
they've got
to be
listening
to
cruises. The resources for some people is a charge card. The resources for other people
and you know
you
what
pay
also?
Cash.
Yeah.
So if you don't have either one of those, you still don't have the choice. Hey, you mean you got a card that you got to pay off or whatever.
I
unless you pay in cash.
And I was also going to say, too, as far as different cultures, they will get in debt because in some cultures you are – what you own, as far as how much you have in the bank, how big your house is, your car, and if you cannot live up to that, they will put themselves in debt.
Oh, yeah. That's what,
I've been
saying for years.
Well, according to yesterday's show,
go to Los Angeles,
and
what you have
anything.
In Los Angeles is the car culture. Everybody has a newer car. Almost everybody. And we're talking about BMWs, Audi, Mercedes. But most people, you drive around.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon for people that you know that don't really have money to have a
new car. I'll never buy a new car.
People will live four to an apartment but have a new car. That's the ultimate car culture. You look around, you're like, wow, can everybody be doing this well? Can everybody have A1 credit to get into these cars? Because the majority of them are leased. So
where do you live, bro? Right. Do you live near Burbank?
Not far from Burbank. I'm in the Bay Area now, but I'm back and forth.
Yeah, well, that's why you're seeing all those Humvees probably and a bunch of Porsches, which are on layaways because everybody's
they're
all,
they're
to all,
they're
to,
in the hood, too.
Oh, yeah?
They're in the hood, too, yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't even go to the car lot in the
hood.
My
I mean,
car
what,
is
what,
everywhere.
What I'm saying is now they probably pay more points and pay higher interest rates. But those cars are available if you've got money down and you can, and I guess you can provide some.
And you gotta have
some proof you got some type
so
of income, right?
Then on your credit score,
right? You just pay a bigger price instead of spending $4.99 a month. You might be spending $6 or $7.99, but that's included in the cost of doing business. And you won't see people caught without a newer car. They're certainly caught up into that. So people are living beyond their means in all
cultures.
Yeah,
I think in general.
In all cultures.
Hello.
Yes.
What happened?
Your phone messing up, Joe.
People living behind
all
their
means. There's a
big pile of
money
out
there. You got to go get it. You just got to know how to go get it.
That's all.
Get in where you fit in. How about that? Get in where you fit in.
Fake it till you make it.
Anybody else with aphorism?
No.
Joe, you heard us all hour. You talk about you ain't here. You don't know what we talking about.
Yeah, because I've been trying to fix my phone. I'm still trying to fix it. I had to actually exchange phones from one room to the other to see if it would actually take care of this hum. I don't know if it's doing any real good.
Yeah, exactly.
You're exactly what, Mike.
But I like to, but back to what I was saying, though, I like Obama's minimum wage increase. You know, I made the conservatives mad the other day, and I just spoke facts. You know, you can't talk about this minimum wage is not going to prices going to go up if you increase the minimum wage when prices been going up minimum wage been like that for like 6 years, $7. So I think it's a good chess move.
Well, I think you did a good job on that day, Mike.
Exactly.
Was that
I made him mad as hell.
Prices on
mad as hell. Yes, I made him mad as hell. I was crushing her. I was crushing her talking about me. What? Come on. Gas prices been rising and minimum wage been, I mean, in 2008, minimum wage was under $6 federal level.
But
and
here's my question,
chess
Michael.
Move.
Michael, here's my question. Okay, it's a good chess move. Let's raise the minimum wage. You think that's going to help anything? Or the individuals that don't have the spending power going to go and spend more money they don't have?
Well, no. I gave a proposal.
Mr. Talk, yes. how about raising the minimum wage on the job that I don't have?
Yeah, I know. Hold on a minute,
raise
Rob.
That to
Rob me. Hold on. Rob want to answer this question. Go ahead, Rob.
Not everybody's going to go ahead and look and do it. You know, they do it negatively. Some people are going to go ahead and take that little $10 and turn it into a multi-million-dollar corporation. So
yeah,
it's going to go. It can go ahead and be a positive thing. So you know,
exactly.
A lot of people go ahead and make $10. You know, they don't want to stay and make $10. That's to go ahead and get them on their feet.
Uh-huh.
But it's not going to be this totally negative thing. It's going to really help society.
Okay, what
and
percentage
now,
you think is going to do that? Hold on, Michael. What percentage do you think is actually going to do that? Realistically.
I think it's going to go in phases. I really think it's going to go in phases. You're going to have about, say, about 50-60% of the people trying to go ahead and get a higher job.
Who's in the background with all that noise?
Yeah.
That's Joe.
That's not me.
My ears,
I have the hum, not the background noise.
I mean, it's going to go in surges, and you're going to have some people just trying to go ahead and take that little $10 and turn it into something really, really big. So, you know,
okay.
Hopefully, you know, the percentage will be a lot higher than people trying to do something big because it works out better when you go ahead and trying to deal with make your business or get you a corporation versus getting a job and working for somebody.
Well, in order to do something bigger, your skill set has to increase.
A lot of people are trying to make do the really responsible thing. Everybody's going to go ahead and get a job, making at least $10 an hour. Everybody's not doesn't want to stay at that level. I know if you were in that position, you try to go ahead and move up. Everybody on this phone here was making low wages at one time. Please don't tell me you're not. Until you stuck with the game, hold on. Until you stuck with what you know, or go ahead and you try to do something. You try to do something else better to make to increase
your
money.
But who's going to turn the $10 down if they just start a job?
But Chef Rob, there's one thing. Chef Rob, there's one thing you're not taking in consideration.
Sir.
Since they opened up this country, since the very beginning, up to 1971, there was an increase in the wages of laborers. In 1971, the CEOs, so forth and so on, start making so much money compared to the laborers. You know, when you have a lot of money, you have to find ways to invest it and to make it keep growing. So what they did when they stopped giving the workers increases in salary and wages, that's when they invented the credit cards. That's when they started giving credit cards to college students and making the first credit cards were just available to upper middle class people. Then they made it available to everybody because a lot of people wanted to maintain their lifestyle. They weren't getting any increases.
I'm fully aware of that.
Excuse me, I'm not finished. I'll be long. I won't be long. They weren't getting any increase in their salary, so they wanted to try to maintain their lifestyle, send their children to college, so they got into debt.
I'm fully aware of that. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm fully aware of that, and that's one thing I was taking into consideration. Because we're talking about, majority of people we're talking about are young people, who just their first, second job, that like that. And some individuals who lost everything, and they got to go ahead and come back. The ones who lost something are going to go ahead and do much, much better the next time when they go ahead and making that $10 versus going ahead and being homeless.
Making noise, man.
I take all that into consideration. I'm talking about as a whole, everybody going ahead, the individuals getting that money versus didn't have anything are going to go ahead and strive and try to get something better. I know how some people got into debt and some people got problems, but you also got to think about the young people coming up.
Hey, Chef Rob, see, this is their whole point. This is the conservatives come with, Rob. See, they cry and moan, and I'm laughing at these people, and I say, you guys are the problem of the world. I say, listen, they come back with this. Well, if you make minimum wage increases, these people are want to stay in these careers forever. They're not a career. No one is saying that. We're saying that if they start off with it, they're going to school or nothing, instead of getting these kids want to sling and get drugs, make $2,000 a day, at least come up and give them a sense of being some comfortability when they're going to school or if they're flipping burgers or something. Give them some comfortability. No one is saying that they're going to stay there. Who says that? No one says that. So they're coming up with ways to do it, and they never can deny this. Prices still have been going up, and minimum wage has been staying the same, and you do have to have a type of standard of living. It has to be some type of median standard. That's a fact. You can't avoid that.
You can't tell them they can't afford the basic standard of living that anybody should be extending. I mean, it's
standard of
phone service.
Right. I can't hear her.
Inflation, because of inflation, they said people are actually making less money than they were back in 1983.
Right. It hasn't even adjusted. It hasn't even adjusted for inflation. So how can a conservative even put their mouth up to talk about minimum wage shouldn't go up? Listen
to
their
idiots,
argument.
Mike. Don't take them too seriously. Just call them
crazy.
Look
at inflation. Look at inflation.
Just call them crazy. They'll tell you inflation's down. They'll tell you inflation's at
2%. The people at the bottom that are going to be able to make it here are going to have to work within a group. It's going to be family group. It's going to be maybe fitted family groups where they're going to have to combine their minimum wage earnings together, live together, save together, be frugal, invest together. That's the only way. And then open up some kind of business or get their kids through school.
You sure that's the only way?
Well, I mean, that's going to be the primary way. That's the way they have done it.
Yeah. I guess that's
all
the
right.
way. I don't know if it's the only way.
I said primarily.
I'm listening. I'm actually listening to what you're saying.
Well,
and I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm listening
to
what you're saying.
You're trying to point out little silly stuff. I mean, everybody knows it doesn't mean 100%.
It's silly stuff
you know,
that came out of your mouth.
Generally speaking, the people that have come, the immigrants that have come, have done that. They have lived together. They have worked together. They have lived frugally. They have invested together. I know people that have done that, and they're actually very successful now. Very successful because they knew what to do. I worked with an Asian woman in her 20s. She bought a first home in her 20s, two jobs, and she said, Asian people come here, they are taught. You work very hard when you're young. You save your money. You buy property. You invest. She said, it was because when you get older, you won't be able to do that. You don't have to worry. And that's exactly what she did. And she married somebody up the same way. She lived with her brother. She owned two properties. When she moved to go back to school, she lived with her brother and his wife and three kids and grandmother. So they
all
do
right.
that. We're the only ones that can't get along, it seems like. And, you know, we want to be the only ones. We're too busy picking and tearing at each over minutia that's meaningless. And other people are looking and laughing and moving ahead.
All right. Thank you, Miss Lady, for that. And you made some very valid points. And to kind of piggyback off what you just said, you know, I do agree. You know, it's, you know, and the other cultures are taught to come, you know, work hard, invest your money, and you know, make things happen. Now, as far as us, you know, we don't teach our kids that. Well, let me stop because somebody will say, you can't put everybody in one basket. Okay. The majority of folk do not. Hell, I'm going to say it like it is. Majority of us do not teach our kids about saving, you know, investing, or nothing. You know, only thing kids know is you riding around with some rims, you know, you buying them $150 Jordans when a 30 pair of tennis shoes will work just fine. You know, stuff like that. And what you're teaching them is you're not teaching them the value of working hard and actually working towards something, you're teaching them that, hey, you got it, spend it. It's okay. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to take a shot at that real quick, real fast. All right, we're going to get out here a little early today because I know we got to go and visit our sister show, you know, Ebony. So then we get y'all last words in. And I think I'm going to start with Chef Rob if he's still around. Rob, your last word, sir. Rob, are you there? Okay, he may have
been. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Last word, sir.
Well, I'm going to go with something you just said. You know, black folks put value on materialism, on materialistic things. You know, instead of putting value on the children, a lot of cultures come here, put value on the children. The children is the future. So they make sure they're still around, and they have somebody to take care of them when they get older. A lot of black folks don't do that. They've gotten involved in going here, materialism, BS, and just all me, greed, and all these other things. Throw your old people into an old home. So, you know, that's the problem.
All right. Thank you, sir. And, you know, sour cream pound cake would be nice one day.
All right. You know what, man? I just made that this morning.
Did you?
I swear, wow. Man, I did, man. It took me about an hour to find my pants because I hadn't used them kind of minute. But I just made that this morning.
Wow. See, that I'm talking about
Rob,
right there.
Are you in Texas?
No, I'm in Chicago.
Will you mail them? Mail me one to Florida, too.
Maybe we can work that out.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Rob. All right, let's see somebody who we haven't heard a lot from. Oh, well, I guess when they heard a lot from everybody has left. So let's see, pick of the litter. How about Michael? Because I'm sure he's breathing something right now. Go ahead, Michael. You up?
Well, yeah, I check y'all over Ebony Show, but I like to say, you know, none of us black people in this country could make a million fake Denver, Colorado, and Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl jerseys. See, only people that can do that is people over in China with cheap labor and have the material. Us quote-unquote black Americans, we're not going to work for no cheap labor. We're arguing over our wages now. This is not in us to work for no cheap labor. So we have so many forces that if I wanted to go to New York and buy some regular NFL gear and invest my American dollar as a black American, invest and do the right thing, invest, and go into my little street corner and have my little license, my trader license, and go ahead and try to sell official stuff, I got the cooks from another country coming, fake, selling theirs cheaper, and knocking me out the box. Google's up. They just caught it. And it all comes from China. So what I'm saying through all of our businesses, there's certain things we have to start talking about manufacturing and the wages in this country. Because even in the hoods, even the Koreans, they still have a connection with their people from overseas, and they have cheap labor. Now, we're not going to work for no cheap labor. So there's many, many variables to all of this, Mr. Talk. So that's all I wanted to say so far. Many variables, Mr. Talk, so many variables.
You have a nice one.
Ms. Nagoni, I see y'all. I'll talk to y'all over at Ebony Show. Bye-bye.
Bye, Michael.
Bye. <Why? laughs> All right. Let's see. Maze, you're up.
Hello. Yes, when we talk about the people from other countries, they have 5-year tax-free when they come over to this country, when they start their business. They have 5 years to pay tax-free to do nothing with it except make money. So that's a head start there. That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say? Okay. Yes. Well, thank you, ma'am. So short. All right, let's see. Pianki, are you still there? He probably gone to get his kids and play baseball. Okay, he's gone. Well, let's see. Miss Lady, you know, we got to bring her back. Is she here?
I agree with everything. I agree with all the comments. There's just so many variables and to why things are the way they are. And that's all I got to say.
All right. Well, thank you, Miss Lady. Okay. And you have a great evening, and we see you tomorrow. All right. Co-host, We had another great show. A lot of stuff. We talked about a lot of stuff today, you know. And I don't know if we ever answered the actual question of the show, you know. You know, what
well,
have we learned?
Well, I think everybody, you know, brought in their perspective and from their experiences and so forth and so on. And it's probably a conversation that needs to be continued. And hopefully, you know, we'll come up with some ideas and some you know, solutions where we can take action and make a change. I think, you know, what's going on is going to force us to change anyway. So, you know, if you look at the chart of all the world currencies, you will see that the dollar has changed to look just like the peso. When I was growing up in school, you put two lines in the dollar. Today, there's one, and that's the same
that's
symbol
true.
Of the peso.
Mm.
So,
wow.
Like, I think one of the ladies, I don't know if it was Miss Lady or Lisa, said, I agree with them, we're going to have to learn probably how to live together, you know, more than one, two, three people in an apartment or house or whatever, work together, you know, sacrifice, because that's what immigrants do, and Miss Mays made a very good point, and I made that point yesterday. They come here and they get special privileges. I know some Russians. Where my daughter lived at in Indianapolis, they got furniture allowances and other services, and there are people that are immigrants here right now getting social services that people that were born here can't get. There's a lot of people complaining about you get to the hospital emergency room, and the immigrants come right on in first, and, you know, if you got insurance, and I know this for a fact personally, that, you know, if you don't have insurance in Florida, because this happened to me, they charge $75 for an office call. If you have insurance, it's $150. Explain that, please. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on that needs to be taken into consideration, but definitely we're going to be forced to come back together, to revamp our culture, because, yes, we have been enculturated in a society that values individualism. I always talk about personal responsibility, but I'm not talking about individualism, just caring about myself. I'm saying there's certain things each person has to do for themselves before they're fit to cooperate with anybody else. But we're going to be forced to do that if we're going to survive. So I'm sorry to be long-winded, but that's it for me.
Well, you're the co-host. You're allowed to be long-winded, which you really weren't, but okay.
Well, my jaws was tight earlier, so I didn't calm down a little bit.
Okay. So with that being said, Tell the people how they can reach you and send your messages if they care to.
Okay. My email is ngonea@yahoo.com. Please put Mr. Talk Show on the subject line. And if you care to correspond, I would be happy to reply. You all have a great day, and thanks, everybody, for coming and for listening. Bye-bye.
All right. All righty. Thank you, co-host, as always. A great job. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better co-host. I really couldn't. All right. Well, everybody said basically what they say. You know, we got some changes to do. What have we learned? We've learned a lot, but we still have more to learn. That's all I'm going to say about it. All right. Well, here's a shout-out to my sister on her show, Ebony Empress. You know, the village dating game, I think that's what she calls it. So, you know, when y'all leave here, go on and check her out. I'll be over there for a hot minute. You know, I have other things to do, you know, starting for tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow is Freedom Friday, where you, the caller, decide what the topic is and how long we talk about it. So that should be a lot of fun. You know, I'm sure we have a lot of things y'all want to talk about that I wouldn't let y'all get in today. All right, well. Remember to keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart. If you haven't forgiven yourself, then there's no way you can forgive any other. And the big thing, keep laughing, you know. Keep laughing. That's all. I can't say that anymore. You know, I can't say that enough. Keep laughing. You know, and if you can't laugh at yourself, then, you know, you just – you can't laugh at anybody else, you know. And I think that's one of the biggest things about, you know, keeping yourself happy and you know, just being happy, you know, being able to laugh at yourself. If you learn how to laugh at your own mistakes, man, other mistakes won't even bother you. That's all I'm saying, because that's what I do a lot, and I make a whole lot of them, you know. I even laugh when I make him my son catch him. He 10 years old. He's like, Daddy. And I'm like, whatever, boy. You know, and we laugh all the time. So just remember, keep laughing. And, man, I tell you, you'll be amazed at how good it makes you feel. All right. That's it for me. Freedom Friday tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Y'all have a good one. I'm taking y'all out of here with some blues. See y'all tomorrow. I'm out.
Well, I ain't good.